again, and welcome to Kitchen Finks, a casual Magic podcast focusing on 60-card multiplayer and occasionally branching out into other stuff. I'm your host, Kendall, and with me as always is Ian.
Hey, guys.
And Will.
Howdy.
All right, before we dive in too deep, I want to let the listeners, all three or four of you, know what's going on. This is our final episode for season two of Kitchen Finks. Our seasons have differing numbers of episodes, apparently.
When did we end season one?
I think it was like episode 13 or something like that.
And now we're on 70.
This is like 75 or 76. Maybe it's 75. Okay. And then like it's our special thing. But basically, we're all busy, or except for Ian. I don't know. I feel like we've been like I haven't been happy with the quality of the last batch of episodes. And I frankly don't. I'm getting a little bit burnt out on Magic. I've been getting burnt out on Magic for about the last year, and slowly becoming become like more and more of a hater and a grumpy person. More than just the normal, the villain. Like, I feel like I've been becoming what I hate when podcasters do.
Or they just get on and complain about Magic for an hour.
Yeah, and I really don't want to do that. But I haven't been as excited about Magic lately. So I'm wanting to take, this is my brute force decision with no input from anyone else. I'm wanting us to take a little break. We are going to do a special episode later in the summer once Conspiracy comes out, because Conspiracy seems to be like a really big deal thing, and it's kind of a shame that we're taking a break right around the time that it comes out. But I think it will have some interesting effects on Magic. But we are going to talk about Conspiracy completely baselessly. Make random predictions. We're going to talk a little bit about spoilers and such. We're looking at mythicspoiler.com, so if by the time we post this we were wrong, that's why. Conspiracy. Ian, go.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, it's a set that comes out in a couple of weeks and is meant to be drafted by 8 people and then played in 2 4-player multiplayer free-for-all games. And it has, as a result, a bunch of unusual different things like draft-related cards and other stuff, and a high multiplayer focus. And it's coming out in a few weeks, and we want to start to talk about it. One of the main things is this new card type called Conspiracy. There's like 75 new cards in the set. The rest are reprints. It's like a 250 card. It's like a large set, I think.
210,
okay. And then the Conspiracy is a completely new card type. It does not have a casting cost. Instead, they start the game in your command zone.
Either face up or face down, depending on the Conspiracy.
Depending on if they have hidden agenda or not. And so the hidden agenda cards, like, they start face down, and then you secretly name a card and write it down, and then at any point when you have priority, you can flip the card up, and it has the Conspiracy up. It has
it's your
to
trap
do with
card.
That card. Yeah, it's essentially a trap. And the other ones are just like they have a generic thing that always applies, like you go first, or your minimum deck size is reduced
by
5.
That's going
to
see
the
some
most interesting one to me. Yeah.
So are conspiracies inside the deck or outside of the deck?
Outside of the deck.
Okay.
They enter your command zone when you start the game, so it's basically turn zero, similar to those enchantments that start in play on turn zero. But actually don't shuffle them in or any of that.
Okay, is that right? I didn't quite.
That is correct.
Read that. All right.
I was watching your video on the spoiler.
And can you do more than one? Can you use more than one?
I'm sure you can.
So you can have it be your... But they're are they legal in like Legacy?
No. No, they are not.
Okay. They're not okay. They're not legal.
These are legal in Conspiracy.
Okay. Okay. So they're like
plane chase. Not even go into your deck. They start your in your command zone.
It's similar to planes from Plane Chase or whatever. What?
You do still draft them though.
Yes, they're in the draft. So.
So my immediate thought is, Will, would you consider putting conspiracies in one of your cubes?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat. Some of these are similar to what I was talking about recently that I really wanted, is basically draftable emblems. And I really like the idea of being able to say, okay, is it worth wasting a draft pick just to go first? That's a really interesting source of tension. Like, well, I need to make sure I have enough playables and I want to have enough mana fixing. Can I really waste a play on this when I'm not even sure what my colors are or any of that? So I think that's really interesting. And I think the answer is going to be most of the time, yes. I feel like conspiracies are likely to be a relatively high pick depending on the conspiracy.
Yeah, so that's the other question.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, it's definitely worth, if you're worried about playables, it's definitely worth taking advantageous proclamation, which makes your minimum deck size reduced by 5. That seems insane in a so you're only playing a 35 card deck.
Yeah. On the other hand, since you're not including these conspiracies in your deck, you need more playable cards outside of your conspiracies.
Right.
Right. So you're using up, you know, throwaway slots on these conspiracies, and you still need to build barring that one.
Right. Well, I would deck. Say advantageous proclamation. You know, that's worth three playables. Three fewer playables that you have to have in your deck.
That might be a pick one, first pick.
Yeah, first pick. I think Power Play, the one that lets you go first, is probably a snap first pick.
Really?
I disagree. I feel like in cube, there are a reasonable amount of decks that I make that would prefer to go second anyway. So,
well, you're weird.
I like control-y decks.
Second, but
worth mentioning.
Even a control-y deck wants to hit their mana drops before the other guy, so they can have counter magic up as early as possible.
Sure, but I still generally want the extra card advantage more than I want to hit my mana. Or then I want to play my mana, because drawing lands.
I think it's not control-y decks that want to go second. It's slow. It's just slow decks. But yeah.
Well, slow decks that can afford to go second, like slow decks that have a lot of removal and all that, which is what I mean by a control-y deck.
A reactive deck.
It's worth mentioning.
Yeah, and I think spot removal is different from counterspells too. When it comes to
absolutely true.
Because when you're playing a. If you're on the draw, you take mana leaks out of your deck if you play the Delver standard deck from a year ago. or a year and a half ago, however long it was.
Speaking of playing these in cube, it is worth mentioning that these hidden agenda cards, a lot of them say name a card, secretly name a card, and then whenever you want, flip it over and it'll have an effect on that card. That's going to have a much lower power level in cube than it would in Conspiracy. Just because you're playing a singleton format, sometimes it's worth saying, okay, all Tarmogoyfs have haste or whatever, even if you only have one. But sometimes it's really just not enough.
Yeah,
which is being printed at common in this set, right?
pretty much all the hidden agenda cards, I think, are like that. In a singleton cube, they're going to be worthless, but in Conspiracy,
I don't know. Some of them. I think it depends on the cube. First of all, it depends on the cube, and it depends on, because also your individual cards are going to be more powerful.
Okay. So if I drafted 3 tutors in this cube and then I have one really good bomb, then I can draft
2 tutors that affect two words: cruel ultimatum. There's one of these conspiracies that lets you copy any instant or sorcery with the given name. name Cruel Ultimatum, and you get to win the game with style.
Yeah.
You usually
if
only
you have, like, you play, you have Cruel Ultimatum in 39 lands in your deck.
Yeah, sure. Hey, like, five tutors, like you said. You got it. Definitely worth taking it with a grain of salt with these that, you're only going to have one of each, so some of them are worth it and some of them aren't.
What about these other things that affect the draft, these artifact creatures? Would you be putting these in cubes?
Okay, so first we've talked about Cogwork Librarian. That's the one that was originally spoiled that lets you basically hold on to it and then take two from a later pack.
Put it back and take another one.
Right. I listened to a lot of cube podcasts, and they had talked for a while about a custom cube that had been made with entirely custom cards. One of those custom cards was called Double Dip. That had the same effect, draft effect, as Cogwork Librarian.
Okay.
Basically, it was entirely identical. And they said that played great. That fits entirely with my expectation that sounds like a blast, and I want to play with all of these as soon as I can.
It does sound like a lot of fun to draft that card. It's like, anytime you're not loving what you see in your pack, you can take it and then get two things later. It sounds like it'd be a tough decision to say, to judge its relative worth, but then also judge when the moment is right that you want to use it. And then, you know, when you do use it, it goes back in the pack, and the next person can draft it again.
Yeah, and you get to...
next pack.
It's also interesting that you get to watch when that happens, because everyone has to draft it face up, so you get to see, okay, how far does this get? Like, you can kind of guess what everyone else is drafting if they're willing to pass that to take something else.
And it's also a card that's worth a lot more in round one, and it gets less valuable as the rounds proceed. So it's worth very little in round three because,
it's a hill giant.
A new pack, yeah.
For one last thing to correct something that we were saying about the conspiracies, some of these hidden agenda cards say creatures you control with a chosen name. So that actually works really well if your cube supports a lot of token creatures.
Tokens. Yeah, you could say Sapperling.
Yeah, or Soldier or whatever. So, there are ways around the singleton nature for some of those, but not all of them. Just wanted to add that in quick.
That's a good thought.
How about the other ones that affect the draft format? I'm really interested in Deal Broker, which you draft it face up, of course. It's a 2/3 creature that is a looter, but also immediately after the draft, you can reveal a card from your card pool, and everybody else can reveal one as an offer.
Trade.
So basically, you get to trade your card for any one of theirs if someone offers something that you're interested in. So that's
a card, yeah.
It's interesting because these are the sorts of things that we always talk about, like while we're drafting, like, oh man, if I could only take two from this.
Now,
oh man,
I wish
I could just
really
trade
good?
You this.
What would be really good if instead of phrasing that, it said each other player pulls out their smartphone and looks up the TCG player mid price of card revealed and may reveal cards. Equal to the value of TCG mid player, player mid price, and you may accept any one offer. Cause then you could, cause then it would be crazy. And maybe I'll put that, I've always wanted, I've considered, building a cube where, I guess actually this idea wouldn't work in cube, but I'm going to say it anyway. I've always considered, building a cube and changing the way cards work so that they work the way you want them to work instead of the way they actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, it would be my Tybalt cube. But it would be even better if it was sealed because you could open a Tarmogoyf and then, like, somebody would offer you, like, all of the limited staples, like, their entire deck. And then you would trade the Tarmogoyf, and they would give you, and then you'd win the tournament. So everybody wins.
So I think it's worth mentioning the other mechanics that are in this set. There's a few. There's a Dethrone, which whenever your creature attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, it gets a +1/+1 counter. I kind of like this because it's like a non-adversarial way to decide who you're attacking. Like, people already, sometimes I already do this in multiplayer games. I'm like, oh, well, all my targets look equal. I'm just going to attack whoever has the most life. Mm-hmm. And this actually incentivizes that. And then the other ones are Parley, which you each player reveals top card of their library. For each non-land, something happens. And then each player draws a card. So it's kind of like a Howling Mine stapled on to some other effect, where it's kind of good for everyone, but especially good for you because of the...
Because you're the only one who gets the extra effect, yeah.
And it actually scales with the number of players that you have at the table, which I think is fantastic multiplayer design.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And then the last one is Will of the Council, which each person votes for grace or condemnation, and then based on which one gets the most votes, a different thing happens.
Well, it's they vote something for, or something. It's not necessarily
grace. Is that right? I'm just looking at
it. Isn't one of them like death or suffering?
One is something or death or torture, I think.
Oh, yeah. Death or torture. Tyrant's choice. All right. Yeah, so people vote for different things and stuff happens as a result. I also kind of like this idea. I'm kind of starting to think about how I would include some of these in my existing decks.
Mm-hmm.
It might be interesting because, you know, these new cards won't be legal, as you were mentioning, in like any format, but Kitchen Table Magic, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, they'll be legal in Legacy, right? Because they're black bordered.
Yeah, I guess everything's legal in Legacy. Yeah, but...
So they'll be legal in Legacy and they'll be legal in Commander.
Right. In fact, a lot of them, there are a cycle of, it's not a cycle, I guess, it's five different legendaries in the set, which seem to be, from what we've seen so far, decent generals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely seem like they're making... Which is a very, very good Planeswalker.
What does Dak Faden do? Target player draws two cards and discards two cards.
This is +1. He starts with 3, and he's 1, a blue, and a red.
Get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell that targets one or more permanents, gain control of those permanents.
So, actually, the -2 seems kind of situational, and the -6 is okay. But the +1 is just really, really good. So
It definitely depends on the format, but like the -2 steal an artifact particularly looks good to me for Cube.
You could play him with is it Memnarch or something that turns things into artifacts?
Or the artifact that you can just tap to make something else an artifact. So, yeah,
there's definitely some stuff you could do with it. But I think even like from a competitive standpoint, people could play Dak Faden just to Faithless Looting every turn for free, and not even worry about his other abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean having the second ability would definitely be great as a kind of pre-sideboarded against robots or whatever.
So. Yeah, the limit break seems weird because he casts a spell that targets one or more permanents, gain control of those permanents. So
most of the time,
what's going to target a permanent?
Other than removal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, there are things you can do with it, but it's a little unusual. Most of the time, in most formats, when you're casting spells to target your opponent's things, you're killing them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess if it was like if you dismembered a 6/6.
Actually, I wonder. I'm trying to remember the wording on Path to Exile. Would you get to draw the land off that? I know that's kind of moot once you can ultimate a Planeswalker, but that would be cool if his controller is the one who gets to do it, because I think that would make it so you would get to take the land.
Whenever you cast a spell, but the spell would resolve.
No, it would trigger the moment the spell is cast.
So by the time it resolved, you would already own the permanent. So I think you would get to draw a land.
You would control the permanent, yes, not own the permanent.
Yeah.
Right.
Though that would be sweet too.
That's the thing that happens in that was like a mechanic in Unglued
It's like the ante system or something.
that you could or in Unhinged, because there was like a card that you can just give a player a card.
And then the other thing that interests me about this about Conspiracy is the other 130 whatever cards, 135 cards. It looks like they're a mix of old things chosen because they like multiplayer or because Wizards wanted to get them back out again. Sometimes it's like things that would have been in Modern Masters, but they're too old to be in Modern Masters. Some of them, he said specifically, are in there for legacy slash vintage,
Availability.
availability issues. Yeah, so I'm
Yeah,
interested to see what some of
they
this
will
other
be
stuff is.
reprinting the original dual lands.
That would be questionable at best.
That would be a thing.
Yes, the question
It's
would
also
be yeah,
cool.
but it would be questionable, but the answer would be yes.
It's also cool to see that they're putting in some cube staples like Volcanic Fallout and Factor Fiction.
Yeah, Factor Fiction.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Fiction.
It looks like Brainstorm's
No,
gonna be in it.
we're not voting for Factor Fiction. That's the other cards.
If I get that one conspiracy out, can I vote twice for fiction? There's one that lets you vote twice if you're voting.
Oh, I didn't even see that one. That's cool.
Yeah.
That
Kind of
is,
interesting.
yeah.
Oh, it was a creature. It wasn't a conspiracy. Never mind. It's
Oh,
stapled
okay.
onto like it's like a 1/4 for three that says you can vote an additional time.
Huh. That's cute. Oh yeah, Brago's representative.
Yeah. I like that idea. But I think at this point there's no other. In fact, I think with the article that spoiled it pointed it out that there's no other mechanic right now that it would work for other than Will of the Council, because
Sure.
no other mechanic are you specifically using the word vote, but there could always be later.
That's true. So how do you feel about the reprint of Squirrel Nest?
Who doesn't like Squirrel Nest? I feel like Morrow just wanted to get that in there.
I
Isn't
really
himself
want a
a big
reprint.
squirrel fan.
I think that this is the perfect set to reprint Ashnod's Coupon, which is a zero mana artifact from one of the unsets that says sacrifice this artifact, target player has to go get you the drink of your choice.
You know, that's actually interesting. Yeah, and it says you pay for the drink, which always bothered me. If that goes into my cube that cards work the way you want them to, then they have to pay for the drink.
It's funny because that's actually in my friend's cube, and I really want to pick up a couple copies for my own cubes.
Yeah, I think it was in my uncube that we talked about on the first ever episode.
Nice.
But yeah, so actually that's interesting, 'cause something that I've been thinking about with this, this is probably the closest we're gonna get for a while to a black bordered unset. 'Cause
Yeah, it really is.
which I like. I hope it's successful. 'Cause that I think that's probably part of the reason that they haven't made any more unsets. I know that the comedy sets don't sell well, and they're bad for everything business wise and game wise and everything. But one of the cool things about it was the idea of sort of printing kind of wild out there cards, and all the draft. The weird drafting cards really, really feel like they would be from an unset.
Yeah, tear this card up kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the multiplayer specific abilities feel like some of the stuff from Commander. So I don't know. I mean, aside from so they've got the weird out there cards. Now they just, I would still like to see a black bordered set that was on like a comedy world, like a, some sort of slapstick, you know, red white, have clown tribal.
Just thinking about it, I'm starting to like try to imagine a house rule, some kind of format, you know, where you're just playing around the kitchen table or whatever, and you decide that people can use X number of conspiracy cards. That seems like a pretty easy jump to make, even if it's just one. Say, all right, from now on, around my kitchen table, people can have one conspiracy card accompanying each of their decks.
Well, that and the nice thing is, yeah, and play. The nice thing is, you could even just say, let's play conspiracy. You know, you could say, okay, this game we're gonna let you have a conspiracy card. Because with the exception of the advantageous proclamation, I don't think that any of them, like, are, do any of them, like, you could throw Secrets of Paradise into any deck. They have varying
rarities, it looks like, the conspiracies do.
Yeah, they seem to.
Okay.
But like, they're not, I don't think that any of them are, like, you would, are really built around.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, I mean... I think immediate action giving some creature haste.
Yeah, might
be, immediate that seems kind same. Of combo-y. There should
yeah,
like
it could be like, oh, my deck is based around this guy, and I really want him to have haste, so I have a copy of immediate action.
Right, you could like if you had immediate action and you named one of the, like you named Emrakul,
mm-hmm.
right?
Immediate action.
It could actually be pretty powerful.
It's kind of less build-around-y and more just, like, archetype-y. Like, there's the one, Secrets of Paradise, that lets any of your creatures tap for mana that's obviously very, very good in, you know, just decks with cheap creatures. And it's not, like, it does not require much to make giving conspiracies good in a deck. So it's easy to say, yeah, well, I'll take the one that's good for instants and sorceries, I guess. Or whatever. So, yeah, it would not require much. They don't seem to ask much of you.
Some of these might be kind of powerful in that form, in a format like that, where you could plan around them, though. Like you were saying, Muzio's preparations. I'm going to play a Sapperling deck and have that, and now all my Sapperlings are 2/2s.
Mm-hmm. I'd build an advantageous proclamation deck.
A 55 card, 60 player multi, 60 card multiplayer deck.
That sounds kind of cool. You know what would be funny is if you built a 75 card deck that started Advantageous Proclamation.
So it's like actually an 80. Well.
Like, you're like, yeah, minimum deck size is reduced by 5. Doesn't mean I have to. That's not maximum deck size.
I really like the idea of drafting these and being able to get some of these together. Like, Sentinel Dispatch lets you start with a 1/1 defender that is a construct.
Artifact.
And you could do that with, like, Secrets of Paradise or something. So you start with a Bird of Paradise and play more or less or whatever.
You know what would be really cool? Getting 3 Advantageous Proclamations.
No, you just want, like, 7 of them.
That's a good point. You can draft. If they keep coming up, you can draft as many as you want.
See, and I was thinking it's always... I'm just always going to be taking Advantageous Proclamation. Like, so no matter, like, no matter what... If you come up
in
like,
a draft, you can build a 25-card deck.
It seems like, yeah, it's because it seems like Advantageous Proclamation, you're going to, like... It's going to be pack one, pick one. Like, that... That seems like a really, really powerful ability.
It's basically better than any one card because it's kind of like 5 cards. But
yeah, I mean, well, I would say it's like 3 cards.
Okay.
Yeah. Because 40% of your deck is going to be land.
It is 3 cards that are the average power level of any card in your deck.
Yeah. Well, I would say they're your 3 worst cards. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you because you no longer have to play the 3 worst cards that you take.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, 7 of them sounds. That seems. I think you would lose the game, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you started without a deck. Yeah.
You have a 5-card deck. You would be drawing your hand and then lose the game. But no, I think it would be really cool to get multiple advantageous proclamations. Like that seems really cool.
You might
to
still be in a take situation. If it's like a bomb that's going to win you the game every time you cast it, you probably still want to take it over advantageous proclamation.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I may even once you actually get like if I actually get to draft it a handful of times, maybe I'll change my mind on that. But that seems like
the first time you're going for it.
I'll tell you what, Kendall. I'm gonna pre-order a box, and I'll invite you and a bunch of other people to draft it. All and right. I'll probably just buy the whole thing and then have everyone Phantom draft it, and I'll keep everything that comes out. Yep,
that's what I was going to recommend, because that's what I'm considering doing, is just keep a box as a mini cube.
Oh, is it, what's its MSR? Is its MSRP regular price, or is it Modern Masters price?
I'm looking on, like, Troll and Toad right now, and they're pre-selling them for $150.
Okay.
Which doesn't seem too outrageous.
Do you know the per pack MSRP, though?
What's their actual MSRP?
Yeah.
Apparently there was a magic card just called Conspiracy.
Yeah.
I was trying to look up the price, and it's like, wait a second, this is not it. Also, it's out of stock.
Here's the announcing conspiracy page. MSRP is $3.99 for the booster pack, so that is regular MSRP.
Yeah, and
whether they'll actually, you know, go over that.
Right? Well, I would say if Modern Masters is anything to go by, Pack Rat, our friendly local gaming store, they will have MSRP. Like they will host enough events at more or less MSRP that it will be good. And probably they'll sell stuff at MSRP. Is my guess. Just because
this depends on how what the print run will look like. If it's going to be too limited, then people will drive up the cost. But
right. But as far as I mean, like, because even they could have sold Modern Masters for more than they did. But they were very. I think they kept it more or less at MSRP. And they definitely had events that they did booster drafts, and you'd pay, you know, the $5 for the prize payout, and then however much to buy stuff at MSRP. And then I think the one that I drafted, they didn't even do prizes. It was just, you know, because there were, of course, that was $7.99 a booster pack or whatever.
Mm.
So who knows?
I do want
to. But I have a feeling this one will be. I have a feeling this will be different.
I want to change the subject for a second to mention one other card that we kind of glossed over: the Lore Seeker. I don't know if y'all have seen this. It's a 2/2 artifact creature for 2. Reveal it as you draft it. After you draft Lore Seeker, you add another whole booster pack to the draft.
Really?
I think that is kind of interesting, and I wonder if they give an oddball number of packs in the box just because of this.
Yeah, how can you do that?
It is rare, so plenty of boxes won't have one, but what if you have 3 in your box?
Oh, so it'll mess up the... Oh, like, so you have to have extra packs.
You have to have an extra pack, yeah.
Yeah.
Your next pick is from that booster pack. Pass it to the next player, and it's drafted this round.
Huh. So there's like, just 9. There's just 9 packs going.
There's just
that
an
round.
Extra yep. pack. Yeah,
absolutely. It's
that's
so weird.
That's interesting. It's almost like a booster tutor or something.
Exactly.
Maybe just that's have. So I guess you want to have a few extra packs lying around.
Mm-hmm.
You could do. Obviously, I mean, you could do, and you could probably do a pack of. I mean, really, it doesn't. Does it say? It doesn't say that it has to be a pack of Conspiracy.
Huh.
So you could change it up.
That's crazy.
I think you're right. It
you're
says
just,
It just says you may add a booster pack. It could be from anything.
You're gonna just
we'll have to look up the ruling on that.
Yeah, see if there's a ruling. A little later.
That's so funny.
I was just gonna add a pack of Champions of Kamigawa to my draft.
Add a pack of Modern Masters.
That would be pretty awesome.
That's what everybody in the Intro Pack League before it collapsed, everybody was talking about adding a pack of Modern Masters to their deck. But nobody did. Because they all didn't do stuff.
I do also want to mention one other card that seems to be new to Conspiracy, which is called Extract from Darkness. This also looks interesting as a cube card. It's blue, black, and three. Each player puts the top two cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard. Then put a creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. So mill everyone for two and select a creature of your choice, which seems interesting. Originally thought it said everyone does that.
There's going to be a good creature there. Yeah.
You hope. Be funny if everybody like flips over an Eldrazi or something, so all the graveyards shuffle back in.
Yeah, then it fizzles.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like a deck that would go in a Mimeoplasm, or a card that would go in a Mimeoplasm deck.
Uh-huh. That would definitely be interesting.
Let's see if there's any other cards here that jump out at me.
I forgot how good Spiritmonger was.
I like Spiritmonger. I don't think I've ever played with him. But seeing him in there seems pretty neat.
I remember watching old drafts where they talked about how that kind of broke the standard format, and it was
I feel like it was a little ahead of its time, like its power level.
It was kind of the precursor to the Titans.
I mean, it's a 6/6 for 5 that can regenerate, gets bigger when it hits things, and what's its other ability?
Becomes the color of your choice until end of
turn. That's not so useful, but hey. I guess it lets it dodge Doomblade. Oh, it's already black, never mind. It lets it dodge some other color-related thing?
Non-white Isn't Honor of the Pure or something, white creatures you control get +1/+1?
Yeah, so you can spend a mana to give it +1/+1.
And you can get around protection and all those things.
Protection, that's huge.
Sure. It could be relevant. Most games it's not going to be relevant, but hey, a 6/6 for 5 that gets counters and can regenerate, that's pretty good.
It is nice of them to reprint like Swords, Plowshares, and Vampire
Storm,
Are the reprints with the old card frame going to still have the old card frame?
No idea.
I doubt it. I'm sure it'll have the Conspiracy logo as well as the Conspiracy card frame. That seems to be their MO as far as reprints.
I think I remember reading someone that answered that question, but I don't remember what they said.
We're just looking at the spoilers, and they have the old pictures, but that's because it's the card.
Yeah, they're just trying to show you the spoiler as soon as they can when the art has not yet been spoiled. I saw a second ago. I'm amused that there are some cards that are actually kind of terrible cards that are in here, like Boldwear Intimidator. The 7-mana thing that says cowards can't block warriors and they can make things cowards or warriors or whatever. Like, that requires so much mana to get going that it's not great. But it's kind of interesting that they are making a draft set such that really, really super powerful cards are playable, and hopefully that is also playable. So, we will see how well that happens.
Probably, maybe it's not playable.
It might not be. Again, if they're reprinting things just to have them more available, then it's certainly possible that they're just there for that reason and aren't meant to be actually played, but we'll see.
Or, I mean, also there's probably some filler.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've been going for a while. Was there any, final things on Conspiracy? I think it's really cool. I think it's really a shame that I'm tired of Magic right now. because it does look like it's something that's really cool.
And then they announced the fall set today as well.
Oh, they did? This?
Yes, they did.
What Return to Kamigawa?
No, it's called Cons of... let me check. I've already forgotten. Cons of something. Cons of some place.
Is this like a Mongolian
Cons of Tarkir. Set? Yeah, Cons of Tarkir is the name of the set. They announced it.
Oh, yeah, I think September I heard about set, that.
And the poster boy is Sarkhan.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we don't know a whole lot about it other than that, but, you know, some kind of interesting, it seems like, warlord-based Sarkhan featuring block thing. And I think at one point Maru was talking about this this block having a unique format, a unique block format, set form, structure, whatever. But here in the announcement it says set one of three, so we'll know at least that there's going to be three sets still.
Unique block structure? That's crazy. They've never done anything like that before.
Oh,
it's
to be
always
fair,
large,
yeah.
Small, small.
They've been doing, you know, different things, definitely, but they haven't, like, really gone out of the box since, you know, we had, like, four sets in the Warwind block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
but, yeah. So we know that there's three sets, and we know that the first one is a large set. So we'll see
maybe
what happens.
Maybe it's going to be large, maybe, large, yeah, large.
Maybe it'll be large, large, large. I mean, there's not that many more permutations now that we know that there's going to be three and the first one is large, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's going to be large and then double large. And,
yeah. And then, I mean, we've already then, like, done large, small, small, and large, small, large.
There will only be
15
cards in the third set.
And we've already done large, large, small. So basically, in order to be unique, it'd have to be large, large, large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you heard it here first.
That's what I think. No, that's what I think it's going to be. Is it's going to be large, extra large, extra small.
Like there 10 be... cards. That is the third one.
No, 15 cards. It's all the same booster. But you always get the same booster pack.
One booster.
One rare, three uncommons, and the rest are commons.
So basically, you just buy four packs and you've got a place out of everything.
Yes. Yes. But you'll make up for it because the set before it is going to have 600 cards in it.
So it's just going to keep you buying the second set forever.
Yes. And the MSRP on the third set is going to be $25.99
per pack.
Yes, per pack.
I think I would probably, you know, skip this block if that were the case.
Well, no, but they're really good cards.
Like, really, really good. Like, every pack lets me, like, get into Legacy.
Yes, yes. It's a... like I said, Tarmogoyf is going to be printed at Common. Dark Confidant's an Uncommon. Jace the Mind Sculptor is the rare. Kitchen Finks is another Uncommon. And then the rest are new cards, because there's got to be mostly new cards.
There's going to be something, yeah.
Strictly better Black Lotus.
Strictly better Force of Will.
Yeah, it's just a free counterspell. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to exile a card for mana. Yeah. But it's got a converted mana cost of, like, 13, because you can choose to pay the 13. That way, it, you know, it dodges.
Or it's the same, but it cycles.
It cycles. yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Now that we've speculated about
kinds
Wrath
of
Khan or whatever the next set's called, like us on Facebook. I'm at K Hallman on Twitter. Ian is at Lord of the Slith.
Will
is at Chewter. Email us at kitchenfinkspodcast@gmail.com.
If you email us something like really special, spectacular emails, then we could have another episode just for you before we decide to come back officially this fall.
Right. Yes. Yes. So, yeah. We will be releasing the second season on DVD. I believe we're gonna sell it for $59.95. Send me the money on PayPal and I'll
on DVD.
Yeah, on DVD, yes.
Where the visual portion is just going to be you standing there.
It's just a picture of Kitchen Finks. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. It's been a good season that lasted 2 years or whatever.
We'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. Yes, we'll be back. Until next time.
Don't be a kitchen thing.